Hello out there in podcast land, and welcome to the July 27th edition of the Laughing Place podcast. My name is Doobie, and I'll be your host for the next 7 days and six exciting nights. And with me today are Captain John.
Ahoy there, mateys.
Rebecca.
Hi.
And the always chipper fanboy.
Hello.
Before we get started, as always, I want to remind you, we love to hear from you. Thank you so much for all the feedback we received this week. It was good. We enjoyed hearing it.
Woohoo.
Podcast@laughingplace.com or toll-free voicemail 866-718-9408.
That way we can share your wonderful voice with all the people out there. People don't have to listen to us read your emails.
Yeah. Speaking of toll-free numbers, you know what the most – I get a lot of bad email, and one saying that now Radio Disney does not refer to ears in their toll-free number. So it used to be 866-EAR-018
or something like that.
And now it's just 866-718, whatever ears is on a phone. And they've removed all reference to ears on when telling their phone number.
Why?
I don't know, and this shouldn't be an email that's sent to me.
That's funny.
I guess... I mean, I got to imagine the people listening to Radio Disney have ears, so it can't be like anti-ears.
Almost by definition. 866-718-9408. I don't know what it spells, but whatever it does spell, you're free to reference it that way.
That's zero. Something oper.
clearly something with the word with the letters oper in it. Podcastlifeplace.com or the discussion boards, any one of those three ways to reach us, and we will be pleased as punch to hear from you. Let's jump right in the pool today.
The Neverland Pool.
Let's start there. Fanboy, there's some exciting news that I read literally minutes before we went on the air. What was that?
Oh, well, we found out that on August 14th, the towers of the Disneyland Hotel will become – the Marina Tower will become the Magic Tower. The Sierra Tower will become the Dreams Tower. And the Bonita Tower will become the Wonder Tower. I know this has been rumored for a while. Also, all the ballrooms are being renamed. Some of them are going to be named – after the land, so Fantasy Ballroom, Tomorrow Ballroom, Adventure Ballroom, Frontier Ballroom, and then the Grand Ballroom will remain, and then the other big ballroom, which I think is the Sierra Ballroom, or the Marina Ballroom, will become the Magic Kingdom Ballroom. And the Marina Gift Shop will become Donald's Gifts and Sundries, which kind of sounds like like something I'd see on late night TV. Come.
Are they planning on renaming, like, Hook's Point or Croc's Bits and Bites?
No, because that whole Neverland thing is still – in fact, one of the ballrooms is Neverland. The pavilion is now – I mean, you wouldn't want it to be called the pavilion, so now it's the Sleeping Beauty Pavilion.
The thing above Stromboli's?
Yeah. As Goofy's Kitchen. Goofy's Kitchen.
It will always be Cafe Via Stromboli to me.
Cafe Via Verde Stromboli.
Last week, we actually spent a decent amount of time talking about the Disneyland Hotel, and our good friend John, who's now our good friend because he took the time to write us.
Yay, John.
Told us his opinion of staying there during last week's NFFC convention. And he says he totally agrees that the Disneyland Hotel needs to be heavily updated. Walking into the grounds feels like it's still 1979. Where the Neverland Pool looks cool, the Cove Pool Team Mickey's area seems a little dingy.
Dingy.
The dinghy's in the marina.
He says, the hallways are a little dark, and the lobby has completely removed any Disney art except for the small Mickey and Minnie statues, which I find surprising because it used to be just full of Disney art. Have you been there recently, Fanboy?
I've been there. I would say they went more understated and more classical, trying to upscale the hotel a little bit.
But is it still?
It's still Disney.
Okay. He says, you don't get the special feeling of staying in the Disneyland Resort hotels you do in Florida, you know, for obvious reasons. They haven't even upgraded technology to be able to use your room key as a credit card in the parks yet.
Amen to that. That is taking forever.
I was surprised to read that.
I didn't know that.
Use your room key in the parks? They don't have the key
to the world.
They still do.
They had that when I was there 15 years ago.
I think they had that when we bought the hotel from the Rather Corporation.
And getting to Disneyland is not that convenient, where you have to trek through the crowded downtown Disney or take the monorail, which is not made for mass transit as it is in Florida. So you have to deal with the headaches associated with that. I don't think I would choose to stay at the Disneyland Hotel until they give it a major overhaul and renovate it, possibly one tower at a time. Well, John, you're in luck. The renovation has begun. The next time you're there, you'll be staying in a different tower. You got to start somewhere.
I think Disney's bought it. I think they've renovated the towers three times.
Yep.
I mean, it's at never least. A complete like renovation.
The Disneyland Hotel will never be complete as long as their imagination left.
It's a big joke. It's like every year we're going to renovate the Disneyland Hotel.
I have to say that this announcement I find disappointing, underwhelming, because.
In fairness, this isn't an announcement. This came across my desk as something to advise folks that there's a name change. This was not a press release. This was not a...
I understand that it's not meant to be a big deal or whatever, but I guess in just thinking about what it is that seems to be needed over there at that resort, one of the things here is that each of the hotels here in Florida has kind of a theme, and everything connects with that theme, and it's a very it fits nicely. Coronado, and then the various ballrooms there, their meeting rooms or whatever, their names all fit very nicely. The names Magic, Dreams, Wonder, and then the ballrooms being Adventure, Frontier, Tomorrow, or whatever they're gonna do.
Fantastic,
if they're gonna stick with this, I don't know.
Critter.
It just feels kind of... It still feels very fragmented. For me, the hotel lacks a cohesion. Well,
to me, it reminds me of the Contemporary, in that's another hotel that's gone through renovation after renovation after renovation. And so, you know, they went with that Grand Canyon theme. They kind of put a Fantasia overlay.
Yeah,
and then
did.
It became sort of this, like, nouveau Contemporary. And so depending on where you are in the hotel, you get a different feeling of what it's supposed to be. And I think that's the problem is that... Because the sheer size of the Disneyland Hotel, they just can't renovate it, like completely retheme it and do everything. So it's sort of going piece by piece, yet it's still just three tall towers. I mean,
right.
It's never going to be like the sprawling estates they have at Walt Disney World or even, you know, the Grand Californian, which was built. This is still just three ugly towers that they're trying to make look pretty.
And with all the names that they could have picked, they stole them from their cruise ships. The Magic Tower, the Wonder Tower.
And everybody's been expecting one of their upcoming ships to be called
the Dreams Tower. So,
I mean, it's kind of funny.
It's just going to be like the tradition. If they have something big, it's going to be the Magic or the...
I did hear that starting August 14th at 5:30 after check-in, you're going to have to put on your life vest and go through the drill every day. So I don't know if there's some connection there. And it is very cold in the Magic Tower, according to Captain Tom.
It brings new meaning to Fantasy Waters.
Even better. And Disneyland is very far away.
Thank you.
That reminds me of Captain
Tom. Everyone that was not on our cruise.
Which is everyone.
That's everybody.
Just indulge us.
Reminds us of Captain
Now, Fanboy, is there something behind this timing? I mean, just out of the blue, they're making these announcements, or is there something...
They heard our podcast last week.
Yeah, we were just talking about this.
That had to be it.
I'm sure that's the reason, but at least internally, they probably have some other reason.
Right. Okay.
We better start like coming up with like some really just really great
really
ideas.
Great. Hey, well, we've got some stuff coming up to talk about.
There's gonna be a big Disneyland announcement and event that week. So I know that this is something they've been wanting to do for a while. They've probably been waiting 4 or 5 months to get WDI to approve the signage, and. And so, but I think that was the reason it's by then is there's, I believe it's on the 17th. Either that or it might actually be the 14th that there's going to be a Disneyland event.
Really? What are they announcing? Stuff.
Well, maybe part of this, what people are seeing over at Paradise Bay might be part of that.
Paradise Bay? Is something going on at Paradise Bay?
Wow, you're good at the segues.
I keep hearing that there's stuff going on over there. What do you hear, Doobie?
Doobie? Can you call me Doobie? Yeah, he's the one with the nickname. Okay. come on, like people think Fanboy's your real name. Oh, good point. I heard a rumor posted on some website that they're doing some late night testing in Paradise Bay over at Disney's California Adventure, perhaps for some upcoming water show. That's what I've heard.
Like, what have people been saying? Anything? I mean, like, what have they been saying?
I don't know. I haven't read what people have seen yet. Dark Beer apparently hasn't been there yet, because I'm sure as soon as he does, there'll be 3,000 pictures up on the
web. It would be nice to know what people have been actually seeing.
But
there.
Just the fact that they're doing something there. I mean,
that's true.
Because when they did the annual report, you know, there was all the talk that one of those things was for DCA.
Right.
So
the Evening Water Show with celebrating what Disney's wonderful world of color.
That's,
Color.
Yeah, red,
I remember
yellow,
that's what
green,
being.
Red,
blue.
So
exactly.
That's cool. I don't know that they can top Luminaria, but it's nice to see them giving it another shot.
Do you remember? I wonder. It'll be interesting to see.
If we were still in California, you know where we would be.
Yeah, we would
every night.
Oh, whatever. I would have at least booked one hotel room during this whole thing, though, to give it a try. But then, other than that, yeah, we would have been having lots of late night dinners. I remember we used to get a late dinner at Whitewater or Napa Rose, one of their late seatings, and then wander around after dinner and, oh, wow, look what we've stumbled upon.
Yeah, and choke on the smoke of Luminaria.
We were at the Grand Californian Hotel the night of the very first Luminaria, And we were on, there's an external staircase that overlooks what is mostly the valet parking area at the time. I don't know what it is now. So it was right, it looks towards what would be the Paradise Pier gate, in over the Wild Mouse over there in Paradise Pier. And we were watching, you know, the fireworks from up there, the safety of the Grand Californian. And and it was amazing, the smoke coming over. It reminded me of the sequence in DeMille's Ten Commandments where the angel of death was coming through Egypt, because it came over the fence of DCA and then down into where all the cars, the valet cars were parked, and then the cars, like, they disappeared in the smoke. It was so dense. It was amazing.
No, I'm just happy we had the blood on the door to save our lives, because it was pretty frightening.
Well, that's how all the folks working on the show knew Paul was in town to see how their progress was going.
Oh, that's harsh. And then
I still remember coming home from Luminaria and smelling like backyard barbecue.
Oh, that's right. Remember that was, you used to come home and you'd have
smell the smoke.
That was a great show. That's how you say Christmas. All right, so but no one, I guess, has any more details on exactly what's happening over there, unfortunately, but
none that we can share.
You didn't have to say that. Just rub it in, fanboy. Rub it in. See, one other thing I read on the alwaysfabulouslaughingplace.com that there apparently will be a 25th anniversary rededication for the Experimental Prototype Community of Tomorrow on October 1st, 2008.
Well, maybe I should read
maybe
it.
Maybe even 2007.
Wow.
They're running late, but I hear they're rushing to get it up to 2007. So,
what's the progress on the...
The wand?
On the
Dude,
wand.
The letters were all gone the last I looked, and it was just the scaffold part with the hand. I don't even think the wand part was... I know the star's gone. I don't even think the wand part is still there anymore. Yeah. I think it's just the hand.
Are the stars off of the actual building, or is that
not
like
the
last
time I went by. The last time I went by, which was Friday... well, no, actually, I didn't notice any when I... I'm sorry. I thought I still saw them when we looked yesterday, but okay. I was over by... the Caribbean beach. You know how you can see it off over the fire station? So I was a distance away. But, okay. Yeah.
Rededication, I'm sure, will be a wonderful event. Given what Epcot is for the past 25 years and what it is today, is there one name outside of Disney, obviously, that you think would be really appropriate to have there for the rededication?
Have they announced who's going to be there?
No.
Oh.
Just curious. Just from top of your head, anyone that, you know, like, anybody?
I'm trying to...
Gark.
From?
Splashtacular, the big dinosaur.
Okay, Gark. I hear he's booked, unfortunately, that day.
Really? He still has his Elvis wig on.
Anybody? No one immediately comes to my mind, but I thought maybe someone would come up with something good or witty. And we got none so far.
No, other than just the Ray Bradbury we talked about a while back.
Nigel Channing?
No.
He's good because I hear he's up for Inventor of the Year.
No, he gives it out.
He gives it out. He's
no, Wayne in the past, but this year he's up for it.
Yeah,
I see what you're
saying. Come on.
I'm with you. I'm with you.
Yeah.
All right, fine.
Sorry.
And now for something completely different.
Do we have, Hawking is too space-oriented to really fit with kind of the prototype community of tomorrow feel.
Maybe like an astronaut.
Yeah, I wonder if they'd bring they can't, and Disney tends to shy away from political types. So
who's that?
Are
you and Kofi Annan?
Yeah, so you're not going to have that. You're not. I don't think they're. I don't know. Disney tends to stay away from political stuff.
John Glenn.
That's not funny.
No, he's an astronaut.
He's an astronaut.
He's an astronaut.
Who went up to space again as an older astronaut?
And since Epcot caters to old people.
Oh, stop.
Steve Jobs. Because he's sort of like technology oriented.
That's a good one, actually. He kind of is involved with Disney, but still.
What if they had Rachel Ray? Because she does that thing where she, you know, cooks food and she's all food oriented and eat on, you know, $10 a day. Not that you can do that at Epcot, but, you know, you can like eat all around the world, right in like, you know, a 1.1 mile walk around the showcase.
Danny Kaye.
That would be hard.
He's no longer with us.
An audio animatronic, Danny Kaye.
That would be highly inappropriate.
All right, well, if you're listening, Disney, I'm sorry to waste your time.
Yeah, we helped you with the Disneyland Hotel, but this time
sorry.
We got nothing.
We're out of luck. We're out of luck. Except for, what's his name, Nark? Dark?
Gark.
Gark. Gark's not a bad suggestion.
I bet you people on the boards will have good ideas, though. They're much more clever.
Well, that's true. Who would work for Epcot? Rededication. Who's ideal?
You know what? They can finally bring all those people that were waiting to move in there.
And one other little tidbit that was in the news recently. The possibility that the Disney Cruise Line could leave Port Canaveral, which would be sad because that's only like an hour from us and we love the Disney Cruise, but Fanboy, you don't think that's really a strong possibility?
No.
Why not?
Because, I mean, if you actually read the article it stemmed from in Orlando Sentinel, it says the deal is expiring, therefore they could leave, but that doesn't say they will leave. They have any reason to believe they're going to be leaving. I know land and sea packages aren't nearly as important as they used to be, but still, it is the closest port to Disney, which makes sense not only for the guests, but for the, you know, cast and executives that like to head over there. I mean, I could see them perhaps using an alternate port in addition to it, but I see Port Canaveral with their beautifully themed Disney
terminal,
and which they probably wouldn't get someplace else. I would see them using that for the foreseeable future.
Why aren't land and sea as popular as they once were?
It's not that they're not as popular, it's just that they're not as important, because when they both ships were on the 3- and 4-day itineraries, they would round out with land and sea, whereas now you have a week-long cruise, so people come just for the cruise line.
Okay.
Although, I still think even – you might not be part of a land and sea package, but
they're still going
to Disney World.
I agree with Fanboy. In reading the article, it was the Orlando Sentinel where this was reported, I think, right?
Yes.
Yeah.
In reading the article, all the efforts that they went through to establish the Port Canaveral location, the terminal that Disney got to build to their specs, the fact that this terminal is dedicated exclusively to Disney's cruise ships, which is apparently, the way the article wrote it, is not common. You typically share your terminal based upon, and then Disney got an exclusion if they made sure that they ported at that location so many times per year.
Right.
So I could see... I can see the argument, though, that with the increased cost of fuel, and with their island being down there in the Caribbean area, Castaway Key, that they might look at Fort Lauderdale as a secondary location or whatever. I mean, they are going to have two ships added to the fleet in 2010, I think it is. I think that's when they come on.
One comes in 2010. One comes in at 2011, I believe.
Yeah, so I could see maybe some changes occur after that. For one thing, those ships are both much larger than the Wonder and Magic. So I don't know if their design is being taken. I don't know if they're being designed to specifically fit with this terminal either.
2011, 2012.
Oh, okay.
They're bigger, and they would have to make a accommodation, and they'd have to add parking because there'd be more guests.
Right.
But I mean, they'd have to do that anywhere they go. They'll have to accommodate the ship, so I don't view that as being particularly troublesome, relatively speaking.
So,
especially since you got a while to work on it.
Yeah, so I think this boils down to a contract is up for negotiation. Disney's negotiating, so.
And Orlando Sentinel thinks it's news.
And the most interesting thing I read in that article.
It is news.
I know. I mean, but the headline does not convey the act.
It gets you to read it.
Right. Well,
the headline gets you to read
it. They do that a lot.
Yeah.
The most interesting thing I read in that article was that Disney had Port Canaveral pay for the terminal that's there, which is an awesome terminal and built exactly to Disney specifications. So clearly Disney knows how to negotiate, and hopefully they do remain in
just
the
ask the Anaheim City Council.
Well, I mean, think about all the people who are staffed there. I mean, that's a big increase to their area to have the number of people there. And then, I mean, I know that when we've gone, we stay at that area hotel, and you know how many people were at that hotel. We're also going over to the Disney cruise specifically.
Yeah.
So, I can only imagine the amount of money that having a Disney cruise provides to the area hotels and whatnot.
Our next topic is something we asked you guys to give us your opinions on, and happily you did. It is the stuff at the Disney parks that everybody else likes, but you don't.
Well, the first one up is John, and he writes that he's giving his top five, and that would be Test Track, which he says, I can get the same feeling going on it as I would going to my local BMW dealer on a summer afternoon and test driving in Z4. Lines are long, queue is uninteresting, ride is underwhelming. Mission Space he put on the list as well because he And because it isn't quite the hit that Disney was hoping for due to the various PR fiascos, the nausea, and unfortunately the deaths that also were experienced there. And then another one that he adds is the Space Ranger spin. While the animatronic and the queue is cool, the 2D cutouts and loudness in the attraction makes him feel that, quote, I'm being stuck chaperoning a birthday party at Chuck E. Cheese.
Amen.
Chef Mickey's, I don't understand why this is a premium character dining location. Food isn't good. And let's face it, Mickey and friends are not all that hard to find in the park.
I'm with you on that one.
We still haven't eaten there.
The macaroni and cheese didn't get the Captain John seal of approval.
Oh, it didn't?
You've eaten the Chef Mickey's?
I've been to Chef Mickey's. And
man, what I don't understand is the mac and cheese at all of Walt Disney Parks and Resorts is the exact same, yet you approve and don't approve.
Because it's one
times.
Of those things that some people just know how to cook it right. They could.
Some people know how to put the bag in hot water.
Yeah, it's the right quality of the water.
Seriously. No, it is. It's one of those things.
Macaroni. You have to cook the macaroni right.
Mm-hmm. No, they don't cook the macaroni. Never mind.
The macaroni then.
It is awfully crunchy.
Okay, number four on his list is Mickey's PhilharMagic. He feels it's a one-and-done attraction, and the queue is not all that interesting with no pre-show. I have to admit, I am rather surprised that PhilharMagic really lacks pre-show. I can't think of any
posters.
Other theater.
Oh, yeah, there's no pre-show.
There's no, like, you know,
I've never really thought about
pre-show.
That until
the pre-show
now.
Is just hearing the bangs in the theater while you're waiting.
That's weird. I never really thought about it. But, you know, because you go to Honey, I Shrunk the Audience, another theater thing, and you get that True Colors.
Well,
or,
as long.
What's it called? Is it still True Colors?
No, it's Sharing Your Imagination.
We were just there.
I know, but True Colors is so embedded
either,
in my brain.
Either way, you're going to
know. No, it has the Talking Frog.
Oh, that's right. That's a great one. And lastly, Rock and Roller Coaster. He says, I enjoy rides, big ones, small ones, and everything in between. It's a fun roller coaster, but not Disney's best. I'll go on if it's a walk-on, but won't wait any more than a 20-minute wait.
Uh-oh.
I know Captain John's going to disagree with you on that one, aren't you?
Yeah. Sorry about that.
Five!
The one that's right.
Three, two, one! Did I make the top 50 quotes?
No, it didn't. It
but it should have.
I
as quote number five, four, three, two,
and one. Totally agree with John here on Buzz Lightyear. Whew, talk about overrated. But John, PhilharMagic.
Wait, 1 second. Like, there's a difference between, you know, both Disneyland and Magic Kingdoms. Do either of them redeem? Like, is Disneyland's better to you?
They are both overrated.
Okay, they are both overrated.
Whichever one is rated more highly is more overrated.
Okay, just wanted to get that out of the way.
You know, you don't go on a ride to shoot stuff. You go on a ride to ride. You go to an arcade to shoot stuff. And the only thing that makes it fun is the shoot stuff.
See,
I don't like the
shooting
shoot stuff.
Is fun. I just don't like the setting.
That's the whole point.
No, it's not the whole point.
That should be the whole point. You should not rely on an arcade element for an attraction to be a good attraction.
Yes, I mean, I think.
And don't go on Toy Story Mania.
I think the setting should be better. I mean, I'm not exactly the fan of the sort of 2D flat glow in the dark. I mean, it's very reminiscent of like older attractions and stuff. So if you're into, you know, old haunted house type rides, but I think it's just sort of strange. I like the game part, so I just sort of ignore everything else.
To me, though, I mean, I know this. It's not really fair, but I judge in the context in which it was created, and it was just they took Dream Flight in a really quick redo. They made it to something people actually wanted to go on. I mean, I know it's not, you know, it's no Haunted Mansion or anything like that, but, you know, considering it's a vast improvement over what was there and that people like it and enjoy it and it's not just some reason to attribute to Delta Airlines.
Then again, it brings to mind in Disneyland, is it the same? I mean, well, that was just, I mean, by itself.
But I think the consensus is the Disneyland's version is better. Okay. And I mean, I feel that way. I'm not an Imagineer by any stretch of imagination, but the interface is definitely better. The setting is better. It's a shorter ride because of the nature of the space it was put in. Mm-hmm. But if you take that out of the way, I mean, it definitely has more dimension to it. And I think the consensus is it's much better.
Okay.
What would you put on your list, Captain?
I'd put on Buzz Lightyear. For Magic Kingdom, I haven't done California, so I can't really say. But just Magic Kingdom, people like it, but yet I mean, I don't like hate it exactly. I just thought, you know, it's not as interesting as people.
Anything
say
else?
It's just This is just a very tough question for me. I just sort of like everything.
You like everything.
I like everything.
Kumbaya.
Autopia in Magic Kingdom, whatever it's called. Indy
Speedway?
500.
But
Speedway.
No one likes that.
No one likes
that? It's not highly...
I went on that for the first time in 15 years the other day.
I don't think it's highly rated enough to be considered.
Okay, so nobody likes that? So then there you go.
For me, the first thing that popped into my mind was of stuff you don't like that others do is Wishes. I think a lot of people really, really, really like Wishes, and I like fireworks shows. I love fireworks shows, but Wishes just doesn't cut it for me. I don't know. It's
sad, though, because Wishes is, considering it came from Fantasy in the Sky,
right.
It's a much, much superior show.
Totally.
But I think all of us are, you know, saw the Disneyland shows
what you're
Believe
trying to say,
and
the
Remember.
Group of people who like Wishes is exactly equal to the group of people who haven't seen Believe.
Exactly.
Right. Well, to some extent. I mean, I know several people who have seen Believe and still prefer Wishes.
Really?
Yeah.
I know people who like them both. I don't know anyone that prefers Wishes.
I can think of some people who prefer
who
Wishes.
Who saw Believe first, even?
Yes.
Who are these people? Let's root them out.
But,
yeah. We don't serve your kind here.
Yeah, I mean, after seeing Believe, yeah, I mean...
But for me, Wishes just isn't... And it's weird, because like I say, I drag poor Doobie to fireworks shows all the time, because I love pyro. There is nothing like pyro.
Boom. Oh, that's fun. Woo-hoo.
I know. You don't understand. It's beautiful. Big, large shells exploding in the air. It's awesome.
Oh,
power.
Yeah.
It's cool.
I know both Fanboy and I put up lists on our website of what we thought, but I don't know what's on your list, Rebecca.
I kept trying to come up with a list, but I couldn't come up with a list, so I'll keep thinking
great
about it.
Great movie ride, apparently.
Nothing?
Well, yeah. Well, I was trying to think of it in the way of when family comes to town, what is it that they really want me to go on that I dread having to go with them and experience?
Oh, wait. Does Maelstrom count as something
that
people like?
That was one of them that came to mind.
Do people like Maelstrom?
I think Maelstrom...
If they start at the UK, by the time they get there, they love it because it's finally arrived.
Because if that's something, that's definitely on the list for me. Woo, Maelstrom.
But the heart of Norway has always been and will always be
adventure.
Yeah, it's hard.
You get it? You go backwards. Over the falls.
Over the falls.
But see, I don't even mind that ride. I mean, I'm not a big, huge fan of it, but I don't not like it. The ones I don't like, the rides I don't like, I don't go on, so it doesn't matter. Uh-huh. And that would be Canada and China, and I'd never go there.
Speaking of Canada, did you hear on Canada.com? Disney's being very hush-hush about the new version of O Canada. It's actually an interesting story about why that, like, there was political pressure and everything to change the O Canada film. But you know, and it talks about how that all the rumors that we've heard are true, basically, but that Disney won't comment on it, which I find funny because, I mean, it's not. I doubt they had a big, elaborate announcement ceremony planned for this film. But
right. Oh, that's funny.
The biggest surprise I read of the people on our website who blogged was Fanboy, who said the Jungle Cruise was at the top of his list. And everyone is right in what they posted to you. Of all the people not to like Jungle Cruise, come on.
I agree, and I think it's not – I don't dislike the Jungle Cruise. I don't feel the Jungle Cruise should not be there. It's much as I know because it's like my monorail luck, and if I go on the monorail will break down. Same thing with the Jungle Cruise. I am not allowed by divine law to have a good Jungle Cruise skipper. And I'm just tired of it. And the jokes haven't changed, and I get them.
But see, I know you pretty well. You will tell, hear, and laugh at the same joke 10 times a day.
Oh, I can think of one right now. Pete and Repeat were in a boat. Pete fell out. Who was left?
Repeat.
Exactly. And I've had to listen to that joke for how many years now? 2, 3?
Nonstop. I mean, he just sells it over and over.
No, and I And maybe it's 10 – because I used to love the Jungle Cruise. So maybe 10 years is as long as I can take a joke.
Well, I look forward to the next – about 5 years from now.
But we keep replenishing it.
Okay. Let me guess what's on your list. Pirates of the Caribbean.
Pirates of the Caribbean, strangely enough, was on my list. Hard to believe.
I wonder why.
So,
but was that at the top of your list?
It's certainly at the top of my list because there is no other attraction that is so universally loved. Although, to be honest, Dress Whites, one of the co-stars on our boards, wrote in response to my blog, "I agree with Pirates. Don't get me wrong. I love the grand scale of the attraction. It truly is one of the most impressive theme park attractions anywhere. However, about halfway through, usually at the mayor or sometime past the bride auction, I start getting a little bored." that describes me in Pirates. I recognize how wonderful it is. I also recognize what a great nap opportunity it is.
It's kind of how I feel about the Hall of Presidents. I'm glad it's there. I would never want to see it closed, but
that's what Iago thinks.
It's nice and air-conditioned. It's nice and air-conditioned. I haven't changed much in the last 7 years.
Give or take. The other thing that surprised me that a couple of people said was Indiana Jones.
What? What?
Indiana Jones. Vegas Pixie, I think, encapsulated what most people who didn't like it said. As far as rides that everyone loves except me, I'd have to say Indiana Jones. I know it's a really spectacular ride, great effects, score, etc., but it's just so physically painful for me. My back just cannot take the ride, and definitely I will not stand in a 70-minute line waiting for a back injury.
That's a good reason.
If you physically can't take – I mean, there's some attractions that I love that – like Mission Space, I shouldn't say I love it, but Mission Space, I enjoyed the experience, but I physically cannot do that every day.
So if you count that, that means I can't do Splash Mountain either. I don't like Splash Mountain.
I'm not a big fan of Indiana Jones. We talked about that a little. Mm-hmm. I think that may have kind of sparked this a while back, too. The similar discussion was when I talked about how Indiana Jones just isn't the wow for me that it is for a lot of other people. If it's a walk-on, I'm there. Any more than a walk-on, and I'm not. I don't even want to wait 10 minutes. I'm just not a big fan of Indiana Jones. I wonder if it has to do with the physicality of the attraction. It could, because I was just thinking, Space Mountain's another one. I don't rush to Space Mountain. There are certain attractions that I can go decades without going on and not really care.
Have you been on the new Space Mountain?
Out in California?
Yeah.
No, I haven't been on Disneyland Space Mountain. I was sick.
I feel the same way about Disney World Space Mountain. I have no desire to go on it.
Yeah.
And I mean, not that I dislike it. It's just I'm never in the mood to just suddenly go on Space Mountain. Whereas at Disneyland, and partly because it's new and I haven't done it 80 billion times, but it doesn't have a new energy to it. So hopefully when the one at Walt Disney World closes, it will get that.
Well, I love Dick Dale's soundtrack. When they added Dick Dale's soundtrack, I couldn't get enough of Space Mountain.
Space Mountain here is the
weirdest.
You like
people with last name Dale.
I love Dick Dale.
Space Mountain is one of the weirdest coasters, like, ever here at Magic Kingdom because the building is way too big for it, first of all.
Then
it's like you're going way too fast when you're turning, like, really small. It's the weirdest ride. And people are like, it's like the signature attraction out of all the attractions. And you go to Space, like, the queue is opened and you can see in. And it's just a very strangely.
That is weird how you can see the
really
queue. But
strange attraction.
The size of the building has reasons for it. So, I mean, that wasn't an option. But it is weird how, like, you kind of go through and you start launching and then you, like, launch again. I mean, and I think that's the kind of stuff they're going to fix in the rehab.
Yeah, it's very odd.
That'll be fun. I'm looking forward to that.
What's the second biggest surprise was from our good friend Magnet, who writes, okay, so I can enjoy or at least tolerate most everything, but there's one thing that really pushes me over the edge. Parades. I can't stand them. I don't care where or when they happen or who's in them. They just bore me to tears and make it harder to get where I want to go. They are an absolute waste, in my opinion.
Amen to that, Magnet.
There I feel a lot better. What?
I do not enjoy. I enjoy the electrical parade, and I mean because of the spectacle of that. But the daytime parades, I have no use for.
Wow. Lion King.
Yeah, to me, it's just. I know people like them. Once again, don't need them to go away.
You don't have to disclaim everything.
No, but well, because I want to make sure people is like because some people in our community get a little dogmatic, but it's people prancing around on huge moving vehicles. I don't get it.
I can't remember the last time I've actually sat down and watched a parade.
I can. I just watched Jam and Jungle. And then I went and saw Disney Stars and Motor Cars in the Pouring Rain.
The parades are definitely, I mean, maybe almost the highlight of a Disney day. I sorely miss it over at Epcot, the Tapestry of Nations Last Dreams. And
I liked that one better because it was less
intrusive.
Yeah, the investment needed in that was not nearly. It was more of something that just happened while you were in the park. I like that spontaneity.
When I was going to the park like crazy back in the mid-90s, I mean, I would watch. I would sit down like, you know, an hour and a half beforehand for the Lion King celebration on a regular basis. It's just, it's such an amazing experience. It's such an important part of a Disney day. The afternoon parade.
I loved Mulan Parade. I loved Hercules Parade.
It's especially back then when they were like, okay, the latest movie's out and now here's the parade for it.
Awesome. Like when the parade is new, I do like getting there, getting your seat, grabbing something to eat. I do like that, you know, sitting down waiting for the Main Street Parade to come down at 3 o'clock. I like that, but as it wears on, You know, and I mean, at the parties, love the Halloween parade. I'm nervous about what they're going to do with the Christmas parade, but I don't need it after it's. I've seen it twice. I'm done.
Wow.
Yeah. You're a sad, strange little man.
I mean, there are certain parades that I don't enjoy, but overall, I love parades.
And especially, I think
I love a parade.
I like the happy parades. Like, I like Block Party or Lion King Celebration. I mean,
high energy.
I don't like the sort of over righteousness parades, like the Disney Dreams Come True parade or
I'm
Parade of Stars or what's the Parade of Dreams. They're not fun. They're more of like processionals. And I don't get that.
Yeah, I'm hopeful about what they're going to do with the Disney Pirate and Princess, because I suspect we'll see some changes to it, because I got the impression when we were at the event that didn't capture quite as much.
Right.
That was a bad parade.
I was trying to be nice. I didn't get the but the thing is even those around us, I didn't get the impression that a lot of people were like, oh, wow, I wish they had another one so I could see it again.
Yeah,
you know?
And the word on Main Street is that they're going to change that parade. I don't know if it's going to save it, but dang. I mean, because then you have the horses, which just screw up the whole pacing of it in the middle of it.
Oh, dude, yeah.
I mean, I love the horses, but they need to be in the front or in the back. When they're in the middle, you just sort of log jam.
Yeah, it was a pretty interesting paced parade. You saw it, right, Captain?
Yeah. It was pretty much.
It still goes down to my feelings about the Pirate and Princess parties.
I'm so excited about the Pirate
and
Princess
party.
It's one month, right? Just 1 month away.
Twirl and Hurl is another one who didn't like parade, as well as Main Street Dad, who says, I'm perfectly happy not to watch any of the parades. Main Street Dad
Main
said
Street
that.
Main Street Dad?
Dude, you picked the name, Main Street Dad. Surely you must like a parade.
Yeah, there's plenty of other things to do on Main Street.
Vehicles.
The vehicles,
yeah. Street.
See, now we have to find out. So Main Street, how did Main Street Dad choose, why did Main Street Dad choose his name? Because I have to admit, when I think of Main Street, I think of sitting down and waiting for
I hear he was a big fan of the Main Street Corseteria.
What is that?
It's where the Wizard of Oz was.
At Disneyland.
Although on my list, again, though I do love parades, Main Street Electrical Parade was on my list. There was nothing ever in a Disney park that more needed to go than the Main Street Electrical Parade in 1996.
I don't disagree with that. I love the Electrical Parade. It's one of my favorite parades, but the time has come, the water said.
The time had come 10 years before.
But I know. And I don't watch a DCA much. I mean, I could listen to Brokaw down nearly all
still
day.
Still around. I forget that.
But I feel the same way about Spectrum Magic right now. That parade's a little long in the tooth.
Does it have the issue, though? Honestly, at Disneyland, up until they said it's glowing away, you could walk up at parade time and get a decent spot. They don't have that at Spectro because
different
of the
clientele.
Audience here.
But
yeah.
I would the Spectro is not nearly as popular as you probably think it would be. When they do a second parade, even if there's a bazillion people in the park, second parade is still empty. Huh. And it's not. Wishes sort of eclipsed it, but they still have to do it. You couldn't take away the nighttime parade. But I think it might be time. Although Wishes kind of took its place. I mean, as long as Wishes goes, you might not need a nighttime parade.
No, I love nighttime parades.
No, I'm not saying in terms of investment, they might say we already have a brand new nighttime show. We don't need to replace the parade yet. I would respectfully disagree, and that Spectre has been around for a while.
The thing I miss about Disney parades is the frequency at which they used to. At least in California. I don't know if it's ever been that way here in Walt Disney World because they have a different type of client base. But the way they used to change more frequently. I mean, you generally saw, Mulan comes out, you had a parade. Lion King came out, you had a parade.
Right.
Hercules came out, you had a parade. That kind of stuff happened.
And then Parade of Dreams came out.
And it stayed.
And you had a parade for 5 years.
Yeah, forever, for the longest time. And out here you have the Dreams Come True at Magic Kingdom that was... The 100 Years of Magic Parade.
Right.
It's
going to
stay
now.
Here for 100 years.
But I think part of that is a sort of shift in that the major releases don't have as much promotion in the parks as they used to because there's been sort of a fragmentation of the audience.
Right.
And as in addition, parade floats cost a lot more than they used to. And so it's impractical to replace them every year. That being said, they did spend a lot of money on refurbishing the Disney Dreams Come True floats, and then with all the new parade safety stuff, I'm sure they're not as that adds some expense to it as well.
Right.
And so, I agree. I mean, it's nice to have them change the whole year. I mean, every year, but I don't know that I would want Disney spending the money on that.
I don't think even every year, and I also don't think that they have to do entire new parades. I wish there was more. For example, Disney Stars and Motor Cars. I wish that there was more kind of updating of that parade because, I mean, it's a repurposed car.
They change it every time a new movie comes out.
They have the two characters walk out in front.
Yeah, pretty much.
Okay, for a short period of time and then disappear. They don't add them to the parade. They're just there for a short period.
They got a car.
But it would be neat to me if they kind of, you know.
Well, I think that's sort of a moot point right now.
Well, no, I realize. I realize that things are in transition.
You know, the one that's getting a lot of parade is actually DCA. If you look at, they had Eureka.
Yeah.
Then they got Electrical Parade.
Oh, Eureka,
then they got
awesome.
Block Party, and they're getting a new parade next year. That's a lot of parades.
Well, they have a really wide corridor for it. So
it's not even a parade route. It's more of a performance corridor, isn't it?
Yeah, that's what they called it when they first opened that park.
It's not called that anymore?
Corridor.
No, it's a parade route.
Route.
Now that they have a parade that actually stops and the show stops, they call it a performance corridor.
Yeah.
when they had a parade... I mean, you know.
Because for those of you who haven't been out to California,
the
DCA's parade route, it's actually the same width throughout the park. It doesn't shift. Whereas at Disneyland, they have a very narrow
It's part of portion. The charm of Disneyland.
They have a very narrow portion there between the Matterhorn and Alice in Wonderland that makes it much. I mean, that's why I know a lot of times people are like, well, how come they just don't bring like Spectrum Magic to California for a season? Well,
because
quite frankly, my understanding is it wouldn't fit.
I think that's funny is inevitably they're like once a year someone will pop. I hear a rumor that the Disney Dreams Come True parade is going to be shipped off to Disneyland. Well, maybe half of a float is being shipped off to Disneyland, but there's no way they couldn't make the turn.
It's so tidy.
I love to hear talk of Disneyland's charm. That's a perfect example. The parade route, which shrinks by the Matterhorn to where they have to close one side of the Matterhorn, close Storybook Land, and hopefully Alice doesn't get too long of a line.
Right.
During Christmas, they have to watch the wreaths overhead, lest they have to pull down the balloon from the Mulan parade.
Oh, that was right the first night. I remember that. They had this huge sun balloon at the end of the parade, and the wreaths overhanging the street were too low or something. But I mean, it also presents a challenge for the Magic Music Days groups because the march and you know the bands march and they have
poor
to
guys.
You know narrow it up and wide
then,
out.
When there's you know one parade and they basically park all those units like between you know Tomorrowland and Main Street backstage like right next to each other and you can see it when they open up the gate and
one of my favorite places to watch right there by the gate you can see everyone getting ready for the parade
and you know they basically have to like do it like a bad valet parking thing because there's just no room. Whereas like Magic Kingdom, they all just sort of go around the park and park back where they want to be, or even DCA.
Yeah,
but Disneyland, they never said, well, how are we going to get the... And then if they only do one parade, they basically park there, and some poor guy at the end of the night has to drive them back to the parade warehouse.
Yep. We were there for a cast Christmas party one night, and one of the things we had to do was watch the parade floats.
They had to warn everybody, here come the parade floats. there they came, driving back.
That's so cool.
This is funny. It's like one of those things that you can't fix. I mean, you've got just two rides right next to each other.
It's funny. It is the charm of Disneyland. It truly is.
So Disneyland, when the parades begin up by Small World, come down towards Fantasyland. I mean, yeah, Fantasyland and then Main Street, and then they park backstage down there on Main Street. And
right,
at the
Edison
end of the,
Square.
And then if they don't have an evening
Thank
parade.
God they didn't build that.
And if they don't have an evening parade that takes them back up towards Small World, then somebody has to drive them up.
Right.
Now, at DCA, it's just pretty much a big loop, right?
The start and the parade aren't that far from each other backstage, are they? They don't seem like they're all that far.
It's not close. I mean, there's a complete circuit.
Yeah, it's a big circle backstage.
Okay. It's a big loop.
Because they begin over by the sun icon, parade through past the Golden Dreams Theater, around past the Malibuumer.
Mm-hmm.
No, not that far.
No, you're right.
The jumping jellyfish. Yeah. And then they exit. There's a door right by the Pizza Umamau, and that's where they exit. And then they travel that whole area backstage to get to the start again. Now, what do they do? MGM Studios, do they just have to drive that whole thing backwards, or do they have to?
That's funny. When Stars and Motor Cars first started, there would be guys on police officers on motorcycles.
I remember that.
And then at the end of the parade, there'd be the same folks on the motorcycles
because they would go all the way around
the parade route.
Are you sure?
Yeah.
It started and ended with the same guys on the motorcycles.
I didn't realize that it was the same guys. That's awesome. I'll have to go look at old pictures.
What happened to those guys?
budget cuts. They found out those weren't actually cars.
Oh, that's
wow.
Funny.
That's cool.
So everybody else is that? I mean, at Animal Kingdom, the whole park is just a big circle, so they don't. They just.
Oh, Animal Kingdom is the only parade route where you can stand one place and watch the parade coming and going, which is really cool. You stand by Africa, and it goes there twice.
Didn't they build that park specifically with the intent that it would not have a parade?
Yes.
I mean, when it was.
It wasn't designed specifically not to have a parade, but it was not built with a parade in mind. Hence, when they built DCA, they made it that became a very important part of it. Because the parade, the park opened with sort of a March of the Artimals.
Right,
it opened with
that.
A parade, but I think it wasn't really part of the big plan because it wasn't part of a parade plan for opening.
Because that park doesn't have the parade zone music, the classic, you have your ambient music.
And then the parade
units have their own music that they kind of bring into their area. That one, all the music is right within the
floats, right?
Within the floats themselves.
Uh-huh. Don Dorsey. Before we leave this topic, there was one other one. I said the parades were the second most surprising. I think the most surprising was our good friend Greg Miletic, who said the partner statue is an overrated thing.
No.
That's
the partner statue, even
random.
If you don't even like the statue, the fact that it prevents them from putting another Wheel of Death in the middle of Central Hub. With motorcycles running around in the middle.
Do you remember that? Captain John, do you know what he's talking about?
I've heard him mention it before.
Yeah, they had
it at the circus.
They had one of those metal balls there in front of Sleeping Beauty Castle with the motorcycles around inside.
That's just, what was that for exactly?
Circus Fantasy,
yeah.
Back when they used to do all those
Blast
the Past kind of stuff.
Yeah.
So you go down Main Street, it's like, vroom. It's like, what?
Yeah. That's theming. What Greg specifically said was, the statues are part of the ongoing deification of Walt Disney that started while he was alive but shifted into overdrive after his death. The parks don't need this kind of overt tribute. After all, they're already called Disneyland and Walt Disney World, especially in the form of a bronze statue of Walt and Mickey Mouse that, for me at least, manages to trivialize them both. A lot of people find the statues cute, even moving, but to my way of thinking, the parks themselves are already the best tribute possible.
Right, trivializing Mickey Mouse? out of all the things Mickey Mouse does, I don't know that the partner statue is what trivializes him.
You haven't seen the Vacation like DVDs. Have you seen the recent like it says like down Main Street? They talk about Walt Disney. All of a sudden, there's like this big ghostly image of his head looking down at the people.
Whose
and
head?
Really, Walt Disney's head.
No, you're not serious.
No, you have to see it.
It's the head of Walt Disney.
Michael Eisner's in it.
We used to giggle at that every single time. Michael Eisner would say, "Hello, I'm Michael Eisner, head of Walt Disney."
You're like, "Oh, you look different."
No, it was really creepy. You can see it's like in Main Street where you could just like it was some strange comments. Like you could just feel Walt walking there, walking down the path or something. And then all of a sudden you see this big vision of his head looking at the people. It's like, whoa, that's really creepy.
I like the partner statue.
In my opinion, I mean, I really disagree with Greg because in my opinion, Disney does not exploit Walt, certainly not as much as they could, I don't think. I mean, maybe even if I had to say anything, I'd say they should exploit him a little more. I mean, he is almost a deity-type figure in a lot of people's minds, and he's certainly beloved to just about everyone, and Disney doesn't play that up all that much, I don't think, which, you know, it's kind of refreshing in a way.
Well, and I think we get a little bit more of it as Disney fans because we seek it out, so when you go to the Disney Gallery, there's a little bit more deification of Walt there, naturally, or... you know, as we get our Disney magazines, there's more discussions about Walt, and we read the Neil Gabler book, whatever. But I think as a casual guest, I hear a lot of them asking for more information about Walt Disney.
Yeah,
and
that surprised me.
And, you know, then you got to go send them to the Walt – I mean, the Walt Disney story is not even there anymore. And honestly, he talks about the partner statue. I'm very happy to see the Roy statue that was installed because there's no information about him out there. I mean – besides the book, but for a casual person, they don't even know Roy existed, a lot of them. So it's nice to see another tribute and see people getting their picture taken with him and Minnie on Town Square.
Half of them think it's Walt.
Yeah, well.
And the other thing that I really appreciate in that same vein is over by Expo Hall, the Goofy statue. It's nice to see him finally getting some recognition.
Right. I hear they're saving that spot for Michael when the time comes.
I heard that too.
That's just so mean.
It's a tribute.
Walt, Roy, and Michael.
You guys are mean.
Yeah, Ron Miller says
you guys are mean. That's all I'm gonna say. You guys are mean. But I like the partner statue. I think that Greg's description of it as a deification of Walt is strong. And I'm I don't think that they've really shifted it into overdrive after his death. I will say that I think it's become a little bit more prevalent recently because I think it's part of the backlash against what happened to the company over the past few years. I think it's specifically of the quote at the end of the Meet the Robinsons that was kind of is in some ways kind of a rallying cry. I mean, came across to me as a bit of a rallying cry. But
And I agree, and I think – but I think that's – I mean, Disney is a corporation based on a set of ideals, just like Walmart is or anything else. And Disney moved away from that and had mixed success. And so they're saying, let's get back to the basics Walt taught. So we're hearing a lot of stuff like John Lasseter evoking Walt's, you know, priorities and concepts and things. But that's a good thing. That's what makes Disney Disney, as opposed to just some bland, non-branded entertainment company. But once again, I mean, Meet the Robinsons quote, an exception. It's not like I'm going to go see Ratatouille and feel like, oh, you know, that was Walt's legacy right there. Even though many things that were in that movie were from Walt's gestational ideals.
I just don't think that you see as much the – I guess for me, I'm glad that he's not a marketing tool.
Right, and that he so easily could be.
Yeah, because he, yeah, exactly.
Well, of course,
really,
it was at a 100th
really
birthday.
But
thing.
I think that's fair.
But that was the celebration of the. I mean, yes, I agree. It was a marketing tool, and but yet, it was the company founder. It's a company founder who has an important role in Americana. So I think it takes a different thing. But that hasn't continued on. Now you don't find Walt Disney merchandise all over the place.
Right. But you go to Walmart on Sam Walton's birthday and they're having a sale. It's just the company should have pride in their founder and they should celebrate their founder when appropriate. 100 years of magic. That's an appropriate reason to celebrate. It's not like they're saying every year. On Walt's birthday, there's going to be a 10% discount at, the Blue Bayou.
And it's also important to remember that back then they actually did call them celebrations instead of marketing campaigns, so it was a little more appropriate.
Yeah, touche.
All right. Well,
what more do we have to do?
We've beaten that topic with the
Have you heard of anybody else other than Greg, though, who doesn't like that statue? I mean, have you?
I have not heard anyone.
Me either. That's
and
very interesting.
Real quick, just for all of you who think Greg's off his rocker, also on his list are Soarin' Over California and Disneyland's Fantasmic. So you're right. Greg is off his rocker.
But we love Greg.
But we love him a lot. He's a great contributor to the website, laughingplace.com/blogsitemeletic. So check him out.
Fantastic. I mean, that is... I mean, okay, Soarin' I can see. I mean, I disagree, but I can see.
Well,
Fantasmic.
It's because of what it takes away from him. He really enjoyed evening rides on the Mark Twain and quiet evenings in French in the New Orleans Square area. And for that reason, I can completely understand, except that Fantasmic is so often a
refurbished. I meant that. That's like,
you can still enjoy, except for you can't do the Mark Twain thing at night. But the
they
other
bring
stuff
that back. Well, when
do.
The Mark Twain's not under rehab, they do evening rides on the Mark Twain,
yeah.
Twain when Fantasmic's under rehab and the Mark Twain is not under rehab. Shut up. And so every time they do it, I go, ooh, it's like my one chance to get an evening ride on the ship. And I do that every year. Because every time I go, Fantasmic is under rehab.
All right. Captain, save us. What you got?
Okay, last week the question was which Pixar films had blooper reels? Anybody in here have any?
Beep, beep, beep.
I know.
Fanboy.
A Bug's Life.
Okay.
Toy Story 2.
All right.
Cars.
No.
Did 2, didn't it?
I'm not talking about things in the credits. I'm talking
Monsters
about
Inc.
bloopers. Yes, okay. And the correct – okay, in the forums, DL Theo got this correct. Was the first one in.
Yay.
So congratulations there.
Wait a second. DL Theo, is that a euphemism for Pirate Princess?
Mm. A euphemism? That's a completely wrong use of that term.
How about nicknames? That okay?
Yeah. Nom de Plume.
Nom de Plume. AKA. Her name she goes by.
No, actually,
oh, man. This is why I shouldn't have used my word of the day toilet paper. Or rather, I should have used. How would you properly say that? Never mind. Go on.
I'm just glad you used
toilet paper. Is involved. We don't talk about it.
I'm just glad you have it.
No, actually, believe it or not, Pirate Princess was 1 minute late in posting.
She had a good excuse. She was posting a happy birthday message to Rebecca, and in the process missed out on being the first to post the answer. So,
but don't take away from DL Theo's thunder.
DL Theo's the one that pointed that out.
Okay, so, all right.
Well, Then I got a question for DL Theo.
Huh?
Why wasn't he posting happy birthday to Rebecca?
That's I don't know. You question. Couldn't even bother to come by.
You know my other question for him? What's it like being a Huxtable?
I was going to say, is he going to see his mom when she does candlelight this year?
Oh, that's right. She's back. Felicia,
back. Is she recording
Felicia
again?
Felicia Rashad is back for.
Because she is on the official.
Bam, 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 bam.
She's on the official candlelight CD. It's her doing the narration. So
you know who is doing? Speaking of candlelight, Neil Patrick Harris is coming.
Yeah.
And I recently bumped into him at the park, and he is such a dweeb. In that.
In a good way.
Yeah. Yeah. In that, he was talking to a cast member friend of mine about trying to get a DVD of Horizons.
Oh, seriously?
He is,
that's so
and
funny.
You're listening to him, he is such an Epcot dweeb.
Oh, that's awesome.
In that, you know, he
rededication ceremony.
Neil Patrick Harris.
That would be fun.
Because he is a doctor.
Yeah. Dookie. Yeah. Captain, sorry. You were saying.
Well, Spaceship Earth, before it gets a new narrator, I just got to ask this question. For all you sitting here, who's the narrator currently?
Beep, beep.
Doobie?
Jeremy Irons.
Yes, you are correct.
Or Scar, as his friends know him.
I believe he's known as the guy that does Seasons of the Vine.
That's Jeremy Irons?
Yes. The Villains of Spring.
Lie mainly on the plains. Okay, what you got for the people?
All right, now, last week, it was mentioned that both Rebecca and I were severing ourselves from the world for Harry Potter. We didn't want to get spoiled for that. But it reminds me that the narrator for the audiobooks, Jim Dale, has been involved in some Disney productions. Name one of the movies that stars Jim Dale.
I almost did it again.
You almost answered.
You almost answered. Jimmy,
Ooh, I want to show everybody how smart I am, how much I know.
There's multiple answers here, so you could give any one of them.
Yep. Pushing Daisies is not a Disney movie. It's an ABC show.
That's right. He narrates that, doesn't he?
Yes, he does.
I'm so excited about that.
Yes, and Rebecca, the Jim Dale fan.
All right.
Not to be confused with Dick Dale.
Dick Dale, and Dick Dale, too.
Oh,
what,
of course.
What about Chip and Dale?
Oh. I love Chip and Dale.
Okay, so there you go.
I'm one of the few people who knows the difference between Chip and Dale.
Everybody
one has
knows
a
difference.
Nose like a chocolate chip.
Yep, but not very many people know that. Do you remember that time that we saw Chip and Dale getting in a fight up at...
They were on the ground.
They were on the ground wrestling in Toontown, and then cool. One of them pretended to, like, kill the other one, and then they started giving the other one CPR. I don't remember which was which.
You know they have AEDs now.
Isn't that what was going on with that?
Oh, yeah. It was funny.
We were on the ground. I think I was crying. I was laughing so hard.
All right.
Are we getting to the feedback?
Let's get some feedback. We got a voicemail.
Is there a problem with the mixer? No. Okay, I'm with you.
How old are you?
That's funny.
Wow.
Let's take a listen to this.
Don't get that kind of quality in the Jungle Cruise. Well, I do when I go on it because it's always bad.
Hi, Doobie, Rebecca, Captain John, and Fanboy. Just enjoyed the 20th of July edition. Heard you talking about Adventures by Disney in SoCal, and it's good that you're keeping an open mind. I think there's a lot of potential. Not just backstage at Disneyland, but what if you went to the studio in Burbank and had lunch at the commissary, and then you went to Glendale to Imagineering, and you went and saw Walt's train shed at Griffith Park, maybe drove by the Holmby Hills house. Then maybe you head north and you go to, Pixar and Skywalker Ranch, where they do the sound design. And then ultimately, isn't the Disney Museum finally opening in San Francisco next year? And maybe you come back down south and you go to Smoke Tree Ranch. And then ultimately, in a couple of years, you can go do behind the scenes on one of the new Disney cruise ships. It could be a lot of fun. I'd pay a lot to do that. I bet you would, too. I bet a lot of people would. Oh, by the way, this is Wayne in Nashville. Keep up the good work. Bye.
Wayne, I think you'd have to pay a lot of money to do that, because that would be quite a trip, but that would be pretty awesome.
That would be awesome. I was not even to me, those are like, you know, really big. I wasn't even thinking that big. That would be an amazing...
It's not like us to be thinking big.
That would be an amazing door.
Certainly the studios. I mean, even just to stay down south, to go to the studios would be cool. And the one thing you left out, very important, is the Tam O'Shanter. You can't do
it. I have a question. How much money does the Tam O'Shanter get from people like us that go there all the time just because Walt ate there?
Plenty, I'm sure.
And they have that. It's good, though.
They have that sketch there at the door, right?
Yep.
Of what is it? Do you remember what the sketch is of? Me neither. Wow, that's weird.
Because I always feel like And, like, I go there and nobody else can figure out why suddenly 80 people from some Disney trip show up.
Oh, yeah. Did you ever go there, Captain John?
No.
Oh.
Haven't had the pleasure.
They have really, really good hot pastrami sandwiches.
Okay, moving on.
They're really good.
Fanboy's hungry.
6 o'clock? That's
Thanks, Wayne. That actually is a really good thought, and we didn't
mention
that.
Reading about Smoke Tree Ranch out in Palm Springs.
You know, that's why Walt has STR on his tie on the wonderful partner statue.
I did not know what Smoke Tree Ranch was. I presumed it was something of Walt's, but
he's not allowed to smoke anymore, Bob Iger says so.
But it's it's like a resort out in Palm Springs.
Yes.
It wasn't owned by him or anything. It was just a place he liked to go for as a retreat, right? Yeah.
I think it was exclusive, wasn't it?
No, it is.
It's like the Club 33 of ranches.
Right.
It's a very quiet get away from
Golden
the
Oak Ranch,
getting
which,
away from
it's really
from
strange.
People.
It's named after
See,
the
that's
original.
What I always I had always I realized that. I had always just in my mind substituted Smoke Tree Ranch for Golden Oak Ranch. I didn't realize it until I looked up Smoke Tree Ranch online and saw it's this resort in Palm Springs. It's very expensive, very exclusive.
Spin and Marty couldn't afford to get in.
I had always just associated it with that place where we filmed Country Bears.
Thanks, Wayne. What? You got something to say?
No.
I got a little more feedback via email. Thank you, Emily in Napa, California. Hey there, Doobie Fanboy, Captain John, and of course, Rebecca. I'm not sure why, of course, Rebecca, but, you know, whatever.
Us girls have to stick together.
We want to have fun. I recently subscribed to the Laughing Place podcast on iTunes, and I've been listening to every episode to try to catch up on any missed information or inside jokes. I'm not really sure what she's talking about there.
and then she realized we don't ever explain our inside jokes. How many times have I said Omer Fudd today?
I've been a lifelong Disney fan, even though my life hasn't been that long quite yet, seeing as I'm only 15. As a California native, I've been going to Disneyland every year since I was 3 and a half. It holds a special place in my heart, and simply thinking about it makes me feel all magical. I'm getting warm and fuzzy.
But that's awesome.
So you should stay in the Magic Tower.
But anyway, I was recently listening to podcast number 28, and something mentioned just made me burst into an ear-to-ear grin. Farley the Fiddler. I honestly thought I'd never hear any word of him for the rest of my life, which, boy, that's sad sounding. She's only 15. This is a long time. Though I have never
it's not even sadder for Fat Farley.
Though I've never seen him in person, I own the A Day at the Happiest Place on Earth video, and that scene of Frontierland was always my favorite as a kid. I just love that little bit of nostalgia and the fact that I'm not the only one who knows who that one fiddler guy is. Again, thanks for that. Hope to contact you more in the future.
Well, we hope to hear from you more, Emily.
That was awesome.
I'm glad that somebody else out there knows who Farley the Fiddler is, not just these four weirdos.
And Iris and Kelly.
And by the way, he does do that eye thing. He does that, like, for real. Remember, he does that weird eye thing?
Yes,
I've never seen
thing.
That video, actually. I've only seen Farley in person.
Oh, seriously?
Oh, really?
Yeah. Oh, well, in the video, they have him do his little eye dance that he does. And so
it looks like
cool
one of his eyes is independent of the other one.
Yeah, he can move it independently.
That's kind of freaky.
It's kind of weird. But
years.
My little brother, we watched that A Day at the Happiest Place on Earth, the Disneyland video, so many times that we could just play the audio of it, and he could tell you all the sequences. And because of, you know, the way rights issues are and whatever, they don't really play, like, a lot of actual Disney music.
Right.
But yet, my little brother John, he could tell you everything that was going on in the video, as even though the video wasn't on the screen, it was pretty weird. He did that with Fantasia, too. You'd play a piece of classical music, and he'd tell you, oh, this is where the goldfish is swimming, or this is where the
boring guy's talking.
He was a Fantasia addict at the age of three.
John, wherever you are, I feel sorry for you. Iris in California writes, hi, all. I just wanted to tell you how much I enjoy listening to all of you. I listen as I deliver mail every day. That's so cool. Sometimes with my hectic schedule, this is the only way that I can keep up with Disney news. Thank you for the informative, enjoyable podcast. Keep up the good work. She listens while she delivers mail.
And we're informative?
I have a question about this, Iris. Sometimes the folks here in Florida, the mail delivers, wear a uniform, and sometimes they don't. Why is that?
Isn't it a costume in Florida?
I don't know.
And then they're on stage, and then they go backstage.
No, I think when you're a male person, you're constantly on stage.
Okay. Oh, and I'm concerned for Iris's safety. Please make sure that you don't have the podcast on too loud so that you can't hear the dog barking, so that you end up getting bit by somebody's little dog.
Is that a stereotype?
Yes, it's a total stereotype.
What, the dog?
Yeah, mailmen don't really get bit by dogs, do they? I mean, in that doesn't
happen. They carry
happen.
Stuff.
Do they really?
Yeah.
Oh, wow.
I was just about to say, be careful. We have a dog here while we record, and if you hear a bark, I don't want you to panic and start running, because it might just be our little Happy, and it's
and
not really
he,
there.
Oh, and he doesn't bite. Yeah.
No. It doesn't matter, because he's not really there.
Oh, that's true, too.
He doesn't bite and if you ever, speakers.
If you ever want to keep up on Disney news, just go through my mail, because 95% of my mail is Disney related. And I give you permission. I don't think you normally would
go
through
other people's
mails.
To like,
oh, you mean she's a
mail
person?
Yeah.
I'm thinking email. What is this? But
she doesn't deliver email, does she?
That's a new kind of mail person. They deliver email.
That's pretty cool.
That's so cool.
That's cool.
We're big fans of the Postal Service.
So thanks again, Iris and Emily in California and California. And now we've reached the point in our show when we begin our sign-off. So funny.
Because usually that's like still another 20 minutes to go on the podcast.
Yeah, that's why I said begin our sign-off. Okay.
Phase one.
So, podcastliveplace.com, 866-718-9408, or post on the discussion boards. Let us know what's on your mind regarding any of the stuff we've talked about today, or anything else, including general feedback about how wonderful and marvelous the Laughing Place podcast is or is not. Before we leave, go around our round table of love and start with Fanboy.
It's more like a hexagon.
Is that all you got today, Fanboy? The shape of the table?
Well, no, I'm sorry. but it is. It's like
an octagon.
It's like, yeah, I'm sorry.
Can you count?
Well, I was trying, but you're making fun of me. I'm...
Octagon.
So, yes, my dining room table is octagon.
If you paint it red, you would all have to stop. Sorry. Right now, the TCA, Television Critics Association, presentations are going on, and ABC being part of that. For Lost fans, they're announcing that Michael is coming back. In fact, it was funny. Steve McPherson, head of ABC, came on stage and says, "We're going to announce something big on Comic-Con." And then all the reporters like had a mini revolt saying, "Why are you having it there instead of here?" And so then he's like, "Okay, well, this is what the news is." So I don't know. I find that a little odd. But there's two interesting things. ABC News, starting in 2 weeks, is going to have a new show called ICOT. And it's a news magazine in a form where they show a viral video or a video that's uploaded to their ICOT website. And then
ICOT is ICOT as in caught a ball, not I-C-O-T.
It's not like iPod.
Oh, thank you.
No worries. It's just because Disney fans,
oh, like
when you
Apple's
hear anything.
New, like,
no, whenever you hear anything.
Apple's new bed, the ICOT.
As a Disney fan, seriously. When you hear caught, you just naturally go to the Epcot
oh,
thing.
Okay.
So. No, so I keep hearing about it, and yeah, it's I caught,
oh,
as
yeah.
in I caught you.
I-C-A-U-G-H-T, yep. And so they'll show the viral video or video upload, and then they'll report on the rest of the story, so to speak, give the context
of
it.
Harvey's a part of
it? Yes, actually. he's no longer part of the Walt Disney Company, because that whole thing got spun off. Anyway, so it'll be interesting to see. I know ABC News is very savvy when it comes down to their news division. They have a broadband web channel, which ABC was going to start a news channel when Fox and MSNBC launched. They said it got a little too crowded. I think thankfully they didn't, because that ended up being a huge mess for NBC. And if you actually watch World News Now, which is their like late night overnight news, that's what it was going to be called Fred, and it was going to be sort of like more of an irreverent news, but less formal kind of setting.
Like Fred TV at all the movie premieres?
Yes. No. What are you talking about?
There's this outfit called Fred TV that's always at the movie premieres. I don't know. Is that some relation?
No.
I cleared that up.
So it'll be interesting to see how that goes. It's just a summer run, but if you look at the website, it looks like they're trying to do something more with it. If it's a successful or even sort of mediocrely successful, I would expect to see that again. And as well as they had a presentation about all their shows, including Cavemen, which I know Doobie's looking forward to.
Absolutely.
It's a good sign because they're actually going to reshoot the pilot, so it tells you how confident they are in the show. And I think Michael Asciolo of TVGuide.com has it right when he reports that Geico is not involved with the show, so say producers, unless you count the collision insurance ABC took out on this train wreck. So,
wow.
Wow. But what do they really think?
But the big news is the Cave Woman will be introduced in episode 5. So, yeah, at least hang on until then.
That's optimism.
Yeah. So, and then in talking about Cashmere Mafia, he says, imagine Sex and the City with lazy writing and zero chemistry. So it might be a tough year. Oh, yeah. And Women's Murder Club, one of the producers, is Ashley and Jessica Simpson's father. This is not going to be a good year. But Pushing Daisies is getting a lot of buzz. It's actually considered the best new show of the fall season. So, Jim Dale fans.
And yeah. Chip and Dale to be the narrator.
Yeah.
Rebecca?
What did you just say? I just missed what you just said.
Get over the Chip and Dale narrators.
Jim Dale, Chip and
no,
Dale.
No, I know, but Chip and Dale in that way, I was thinking like those guys who dance for women.
Oh, no. Why would your mind go there?
Because you said Chip and Dale narrator.
Emily's listening.
He
come on.
You didn't say Chip and Dale.
Yeah, you said Chip and Dale.
Chip and Dale. There's
you
a difference.
You have to be very careful. You have to enunciate.
My bad. Chip and Dale.
No, I really don't have much Disney because I was in kind of a media blackout because I didn't want to spoil the Potter thing. So I'm just now, you know, kind of catching up on what's been happening since, you know, the past few days while I was in my little cocoon listening to the Harry Potter finale, which, by the way, was very good. And now I'm all excited about Friday because I'm going to go to the movies again. I hardly ever go to the movies. How many times have I been to the movies this year? Maybe 4 times at the most?
Spider-Pig.
Not sure that many. Yeah.
Exactly.
Yeah, maybe 3. Whatever.
Did you see the new commercial?
Spider-Pig.
Yeah.
Harry Potter.
Harry Potter, yeah.
Yeah. So I right now I found the guy who has the MP3 on a website, so I'm trying to figure out how to make Spider-Pig my cell phone ring.
I wonder if that's an iCot.
So I want to make
yeah, UGHD.
I want to make the Spider-Pig Homer Simpson song my cell phone ring.
By the way, I have a suggestion to ABC News. Buy the iCot domain.
Why don't you go buy it? You can turn it, make a profit.
Did you like Harry Potter, by the way?
I was very, very happy with the way that she finished up this series. Yeah, I thought it was good. It dragged in the middle for me, but yet I stuck with it because I knew that there was something I was learning in there that would be important at the end, and I was right. But
got you really excited for the Universal Land.
But
well, I'm excited for that.
Yeah. I mean, it did. I'm also kind of I'm kind of sad. I hope she. I've heard that she's going to be working on an encyclopedia because the vastness of the world that she created. I'm looking forward. I'm hoping that maybe she'll also consider, and I don't know if she is or she's, you know, finished with it or whatever, but it'd be neat, I think, if she kind of spun off some of the other tales that were kind of just left off on the sides. You know, in the same way that fan fiction for Star Wars has kind of picked up that mm-hmm. mantle and carried off stories here, there, and everywhere with a general consistent theme. I'd kind of like to see the same thing happen with Harry Potter over time because there are a lot of she created a very interesting world, a very diverse world. And I'd kind of like to see the exploration beyond the Harry, Ron, Hermione story. So
they did really well with fan fiction for Hannah Montana, really expanding that world out.
Okay.
The depth on Billy Ray Cyrus.
Man.
You know, they put out CDs and they created all these like CDs that he did to create that to really flesh out Hannah Montana's father.
Even a whole craze about Achy Breaky Heart or something.
The latest episode, it features a song that he wrote for Miley about, you know, kind of the difficulty a dad has letting go of his teenage daughter. It's a really sweet song. I guess they're running the music video like all the time on Disney Channel right now, but the episode itself is really sweet.
And the CD is available now on iTunes.
Yeah, exactly.
And probably soon on Laughing Place Radio.
Yep.
Captain John.
The Black Pearl is coming to Comic-Con. Have you heard about this?
No.
They're actually making, a 40-foot replica out of styrofoam of the Black Pearl. It's going to be at Comic-Con.
Oh, cool.
I think that's really cool.
There's
and I heard
so much to talk about after Comic-Con.
And I heard that somebody was actually driving down the freeway, and then they saw the Black Pearl drive by because they were getting it down there. So that would just be funny. It's like, just imagine to see the ship going down the road. It's like,
It's like when we all saw the Country Bears. Were you there? Were you there?
No.
Oh, we saw a buff like when we were driving.
I remember
up to
hearing that
Universal
story.
Studios.
People were they were carrying off the bears up to Burbank from Disney.
I think I recall when they were putting in new animatronics for Pirates. We saw the truck for that.
Do you remember the old video from the 60s that they show of them driving the Pirates down and you're like, that's how you got to Disneyland.
That's cool.
I remember seeing the view liner on Catella when we were going to the hotel.
Back when it was still a Buick.
Not the Viewliner. Sorry.
I was going to say, wow, you were old.
The train engine.
The train engine at DCA, which the name escapes me
now. The Golden Zephyr.
That's it. The Golden Zephyr. That's what we saw.
Which is silver.
Yeah.
No, that's the Golden.
No, it's not the Golden
no,
Zephyr.
No, that's the California Zephyr. The train. Okay. Golden Zephyr's the attraction.
Golden Zephyr.
See,
yeah,
that's why
so
I can't
Zephyrs.
Remember because it's too similar to the other
yeah,
name.
Yeah, California Zephyr.
But Comic Con is happening right now, right? Yeah.
It starts tonight
in San Diego.
Well, so yes.
And it's a mega. It's a mega convention for. It started as like a little a comic book focus, but now it's expanded into fantasy and sci-fi and animation
and just general entertainment.
So yeah. There's going to be a lot. This is where all sorts of rumors and exciting upcoming storylines get revealed. So it'll be very exciting time over the next few days. I know Pixar has a panel. I know a lot of the Disney-related projects are going to be spokespeople are going to be there too. So yeah. You should get a lot of really interesting stories coming out in the papers over the next few days.
There's going to be a presentation on Pirates as well as Prince Caspian, the new Narnia film, as well as WALL-E. And Disney has a huge booth this year. So there's a lot of...
It'll be fun.
If you're there, you have more there than you will at Disneyland.
Cool. Couple things. One, D.A.R. on our boards, he made one of his rare trips to Disney World.
D.A.R. is a guy?
Maybe she. I don't know.
If I was Daughters of the Animated Reel, I would hope that would be... or Daughters of the American Revolution, depending on how... What
okay,
she is.
You're probably right. This
I mean,
person?
If you're a guy, I'm sorry. I didn't mean to demasculate you.
Don't know. So I'm going to say the generic this person.
Okay.
Posted about their trip, which they absolutely loved. But one thing that really hit home with me about... While I love Disney, one of the things that does bother me a little bit was encapsulated great here. Pirate Stitch Nemo, Pirate Stitch Nemo, Pirate Stitch Nemo, Pirate Stitch Nemo. If this was my first experience to Disney, you would think that these are the only three things that make the company. While I've enjoyed all three to some extent, it was a bit of overkill.
He's not right. It's Pirate Stitch Buzz Lightyear. I mean, sorry, Pirate Princess Buzz Lightyear. Pirate Prince Buzz Lightyear. Stitch is not
that's
nearly as important.
So.
And that's my problem with the Pirate and Princess parties.
I thought that was interesting. That hit it for me. And then Fanboy Rebecca and I recently went to a new restaurant, relatively new restaurant. Was it the Swan or the Dolphin? The Swan? The Dolphin? The Swan.
Who
cares?
It was at the Swan.
Right, it was at the Swan. Called Il Mulino, a new Italian restaurant, which was a little hip-looking from the outside. But once you got in, it was pretty comfortable.
My favorite part was the menus are hidden under...
Tempered glass,
so you can't read them.
Yeah,
they're a little
just
blurry.
And when we got our bill, we know why.
The outside menus, and then there's like I don't know about a football field's worth of a bar, and then way behind that is the actual podium. So it's a bit of a challenge to get there, but once you're there, the food was very good, the experience was very nice. Prices were a little high, especially since they don't take the Disney dining discount card. But you know, the thing that really bugged me though is you have to pay for parking there. Until I found out later that they have these little menu cards out. Various places. We picked up some by the boat launch. On the back it says, present this to the valet for free parking. So there's $10 I could have saved.
Whoops.
So just wanted to recommend it. I will say beware. At the end they bring over this yummy-looking, yummy-smelling lemon stuff to, what do they call it, a pet-a-pat-tif?
Mais oui.
To, top off your meal, which was a great meal. And, that stuff will...
It's pure alcohol.
That stuff will put you down.
It's pure alcohol.
That would
mean. I mean, a lot of people have had it. It's more and more common to finish off the palate at an Italian restaurant. But
finished off my palate for quite a few days,
dude,
actually.
That stuff, seriously, it was.
I could imagine.
Why ruin the yummy taste of dessert you have in your mouth?
I didn't mind it like the two wimps did. But it could have been.
I put my nose in.
That's right. I remember Fanboy. And then my husband Doobie, I was like, take a little sip because Doobie doesn't like alcohol. He does not appreciate it in the slightest. And so he tried this small. He must have just literally put his lips to it and tilted the glass, and I thought he was gonna choke. It was quite humorous.
Oh, I'm sad I wasn't there.
Yeah, I thought it was nice stuff. I should take that back. I didn't think it was nice stuff. I didn't find it as recoiling as the two of them did, but it was mighty powerful.
Imagine mighty Beverly powerful. With acid.
That's right. Acid.
Thanks for joining us on the Life Life Podcast. We'll talk to you next week. Bye-bye.
See ya.